All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Happy trade deadline eve, and welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, the notebook emptying edition of the show. As always, it is presented by Betano 19+. Please play responsibly. The game starts now at betano.ca. And of course, we're looking for your inbox questions over in the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where we will be live for more than 4 hours tomorrow. Giddy up, Frank. It's almost the big day.
Cannot wait. 27 hours to go. Lots of intrigue. I know people are saying, hey, so many different names off the board. What could possibly be next? Well, Jake Gensel's still out there. Pavel Buchnevich is still out there. Riley Smith. There's lots of moves still to be made. The Rangers, the Avs, the Golden Knights all have this year's first round pick. I mean, there's still a lot to unfold.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of that today on the show. But first, I want to start with a couple of pieces of breaking news. Frank, you had the scoop. Joel Edmondson is going to Toronto for a third and a fifth round pick. What do you make of the fit for the Leafs?
I think it's important support for them. Joel Edmondson has Stanley Cup pedigree. He was a big part of that run for the St. Louis Blues. And while his game has slowed down a little bit, this isn't anything that's going to cost you. And so that's what I think the Leafs are after, is trying to find ways to support this team. If they're going to make a big splash and take the bat off of their shoulder and trade that first round pick, that it's really going to be for players of consequence and impact. And in the meantime, I think what we're seeing here is this market shifting to a buyer's market for a lot of the depth pieces that are available. And that to me is going to be fascinating to watch. A third and a fifth, you're not really going to spend any time thinking about those additions, those subtractions, I should say. And when it comes to someone like Beauvillier, he could certainly help.
Yeah, so Anthony Beauvillier going to the Nashville Predators for a fifth round pick, Frank, a signal that Barry Trotz, he be buying.
Yeah, I mentioned small buys is what we could look for from the Nashville Predators. They're probably going to be doing a little bit of both, the old Vandalay Industries importing and exporting. Probably real likely that Tyson Barrie gets traded before Friday at 3 p.m. They want to do right by him. They're in a spot where Alexander Carrier could go. I still think probably a little bit unlikely right now, unless it's a decent enough return. Yakov Trenin is another guy, big body up front that they could move. But little moves like that, bringing in Anthony Beauvillier, a little scoring punch and support without any strings attached. That's certainly the realm that the Nashville Predators are living in.
All right, Frank, we got a handful of big deals yesterday. Let's flash up our four big topics to begin today's show. Start with the Noah Hanifin deal out to Vegas. The Golden Knights make another big add here. There's a couple of interesting parts of this trade. The one that stands out is the condition on that first round pick. Vegas, if they decide to go trade their 2025 first rounder, then the pick Calgary gets just automatically turns into their 2026 first rounder. Why do you like that for Calgary? Maybe why does it make sense for Calgary? And also, is this a clear sign Vegas isn't done?
Well, that's the most clear indication, the fact that condition is on the pick, that Vegas has to have been up to something or at least had enough conversations to know that they potentially need to keep that 2025 pick dry. That would, you know, based on the asking price, that would lead me to believe that the Golden Knights are either in the market for Pavel Buchnevich or, as I've confirmed and reported yesterday, Jake Guentzel. What could you possibly need two first-round picks for in 2024 and 2025? From Calgary's perspective, a lot of people have been all over that saying, why would you do that for Vegas? I love the fact that the Flames were willing participants in this, and I'll tell you why. That 2025 pick, if it transfers, it's top 10 protected. So basically what Calgary said to Vegas is, if you think you're going to trade that 2025 pick, that's fine. We'll give you 48 hours to figure that out. But in the meantime, if it does go to 2026, there are no protections on the trade. Not saying it's likely that Vegas isn't going to be good in 2026, but you have to at least allow for the possibility. And that was the trade-off for the Flames. We'll give you 48 hours. You remove the conditions on the pick. And that's why I think it was smart business by Calgary. What do they care whether it's 25 or 26? They're in a spot where they're getting a first round pick guaranteed, and it could be even better in 2026.
Noah Hanifin makes this Golden Knights blue line better. They also get him at 75% retained. Another sign that Vegas is just keeping the door open for potentially another big addition before tomorrow's trade deadline.
I would say quickly, an extension not in place yet, but I would be surprised if one does not materialize. Vegas was on the short list of teams that Hanifin was interested in re-signing with. And from a Golden Knights cap perspective, it's perfect. You bring in Hanifin, he's essentially your ready-made replacement for Alec Martinez, who made $5.25 million. You hand Hanifin in a no-tax situation, something probably in the high sixes, and you also have a salary cap increase coming. So now you've got the left side of your defense set for the next while with Shea Theodore and Noah Hanifin, Alex Pietrangelo also on that blue line. Things set up pretty, pretty nicely for the Golden Knights on the back end for the next number of years.
Yeah, it does. That is quite the trio of blue liners out in Vegas. Sticking in the West, Frank, we've spent a lot of time over the last 7 to 10 days talking about a potential Western Conference arms race. And that's really what it feels like is happening here. The Colorado Avalanche, it basically boils down to Bowen Byram out for Sean Walker, Ryan Johansson out for Casey Mittelstadt, and they give a first-round pick to the Flyers in the Walker deal as well. But those two flip-flops, going from Johansson to Mittelstadt and then going from Walker to Byram, how much better does it make the Avs in your mind? Significantly, marginally? Was it worth giving up the first to make those swaps?
Massive. Okay. Johansson also had a contract for next year, so you had to address that situation, whether it was now or in the summer. And the uptick from Johansson to Mittelstadt is humongous. I think Casey Mittelstadt has 70 to 75 point potential. So the Avs got their second line center, provided that they're willing to sign into an extension. And I'd imagine that that was a huge part of this deal, knowing that that would be on the other end of it, given that he is staring down RFA and he has made huge jumps in his game. You know, I think the Byram one, it's going to be interesting to watch this trade develop, because I know the concussion history, but you saw Byram at the age of 20 in their cup run play at such an elite level that he's really a special piece, and I love what Buffalo is building on that back end with Dahlin and Power. Now you throw in Byram, Matthias Samuelsson has a different element. Like, there's lots to like about the way Buffalo is building, but a lot of teams that I talk to place a bigger premium on the center position and feel like the Avs did pretty well. Then you still get the support from Sean Walker coming in on your back end, and that's where you can really see the pieces kind of come together for Colorado. There's been lots of talk about what that Walker extension might have looked like with the Flyers, somewhere in the 4-year range, somewhere around $5 million a year, that they could keep Sean Walker, extend him, and also are in a spot where, as mentioned, they still have their 2024 first round pick. I don't think the Colorado Avalanche are in on Jake Guentzel. I don't think the Colorado Avalanche are in on Tyler Toffoli, but I would be surprised if we get through Friday at 3 p.m. and the Avs don't make a big splash, probably for a winger. And oh, by the way, they're going to add a goalie too. They're definitely going to add a goalie.
Took the words out of my mouth. Do you think that's, you know, Jake Allen or bust, or are there some interesting checkdown options just quickly for Chris McFarland?
No, I think there's some interesting checkdown options. I think when you're looking at, I can't imagine a better logical fit for the Avs than Jake Allen. I think his play has been brought down a little bit by the team around him. I think he can get back to that level where he's 905, 910, played the first 353 games of his career at 911. The Habs are willing to retain half. So they only have one retention slot left. So it's either going to be on Allen or it's going to be on Savard, or on Friday, they're going to be a third party broker. I think it makes the most sense to get Allen to a place like Colorado. And for the Avs, Georgiev's been good, but he hasn't been otherworldly. He definitely needs to play less. And think back to the injury that they had to Darcy Kemper in the Stanley Cup run. They counted on Pavel Francouz for 4 wins or 5 wins during that run. You're going to need a backup goalie.
Yeah, Francouz was very good during that Western Conference final against the Edmonton Oilers. Speaking of the Oilers, Ken Holland traded a first round pick for a rental. Frank, it's basically never happened in his GM career. And what could be his final deadline, he takes the plunge. The Oilers get Adam Henrique at 75%, retained Sam Carrick as a nice depth add as well. And now we just talked. The Avs have their 2024 first. The Golden Knights still have that 2025 first. The Oilers still have their 2025 first. What's your sense on how aggressive the Oilers could be in the next 27 hours?
I think they are monitoring the market. I think they're keeping tabs on a player like Jordan Eberle, who I reported this morning. They're looking at something like, what will Jordan Eberle sign an extension for? That's really, will that happen? And if not, Eberle's going to be on the move. And if he is on the move, what's the cost to get him? So they're going to keep an eye on the forward market. They're stone cold, absolutely going to get a veteran defenseman, probably one inexpensive, probably not all that different than the type of price paid for Joel Edmondson, if not a little bit below that. We're talking 6-7 defenseman type situation. And that's really where they're at in terms of what they're monitoring. But in the meantime, they really improved their center depth and changed, I think, the complexion of their roster and some flexibility that Chris Knobloch has in a big way.
Yeah, 100%. Two depth adds without anything coming, or two adds. Henrique, I mean, he's practicing today in the top six for the Oilers. But the point I was making is they didn't have to subtract anything off of their roster. And I think that's significant. They really needed some more quality pieces in their bottom six. Carrick does that. Henrique shuffles some other pieces down for the Oilers. They have their second rounder still to deal in 2024 if they choose. In 2025, their first and third rounders as well. So we'll see what Ken Holland has cooking up in the next few hours here in the next day. Let's take a look at the big fish still on the market. Frank, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into your trade targets board with today's edition of Icebreakers. But first, let's just start at the top with Jake Guentzel. What is the latest on him? Who's involved? You mentioned things could be shifting to a bit of a buyer's market for depth adds. Is that also applying to the big names like Guentzel?
No. Okay. The Pittsburgh Penguins are holding firm on a pretty expensive price. What that ends up being, I don't know. It starts, people are thinking a grade A prospect plus a first round pick. Where it goes from there, they're holding him up for auction, essentially. So I reported 5 teams yesterday that I believe are authentically in the mix. I don't know if there is additional ones beyond that, but it's Carolina, New York, Florida, Vancouver, and Vegas. Now, when it comes to Florida and Vancouver, they've put what they think is their best foot forward, and they don't think that they have the goods to bring in Guentzel. Again, you don't know what anyone else has offered and what that could look like, but they felt like they made a strong push that ultimately just isn't going to get them over the finish line. That would theoretically leave New York, Vegas, and Carolina. Now, some teams are whispering that they think Carolina is the favorite. I don't know that to be fact, but just passing that tidbit along. And when it comes to the Canes, like we've talked about their playoff runs and the difference makers that they need, Gensel would certainly seem to me to be a difference maker and a finisher. That two-time 40-goal scorer that led an entire postseason in scoring as a rookie that not only could Carolina use, but they don't really love rentals. And I think Carolina would be on the short list of teams that Gensel would ultimately entertain signing an extension with. So perhaps maybe the rental who doesn't end up being the rental. That's where I think it really fits for Carolina. But we just talked about Vegas and the assets that they have, the willingness that they have and to be aggressive and to really do something significant. And that's sort of the situation with Gensel as it lies right now.
Jake Gensel also has a teammate sitting in your top five on the trade targets board in Riley Smith. Is there a chance that the Penguins actually move Smith before they move Gensel?
There is a possibility. I mean, teams are calling. I've reported the last few days that actually just from a sheer numbers perspective, not saying the return is going to be better, but the Penguins had had more teams calling about Smith than they did Gensel. And maybe at that price point difference, it makes sense. And Smith is also a non-rental, 1 year left on his deal at $5 million. The Penguins are willing to retain. That could knock him down to 2.5. You bring a third party in. If you can find a third party team willing to retain for an entire next year, and all of a sudden you can see why it would be a pretty intriguing move for a guy that, again, has guaranteed sort of playoff fit, you know, fit and finish that teams are looking for. And I think Smith has just been slow going this season in Pittsburgh.
Interesting. A lot of things on the go potentially for Kyle Dubas out in Pittsburgh. Let's keep the trade talk going and the trade targets discussion rolling along with today's edition of Icebreakers. Icebreakers is delivered by DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Check out the double dash feature. It allows you to add a second stop onto your DoorDash order for zero extra delivery fees. The combinations are endless. The fighting between you and your significant other over where to order, it ends with the double dash feature. Dash that for the win with DoorDash. Frank, let's dig into this trade targets list a little bit more. We started today's show with the breaking news of Joel Edmondson going to Toronto. The Washington Capitals still have a couple of interesting pieces on the block. Max Pacioretty, who you see on the right side of the graphic, Nick Dowd on the left side. We had heard for a while that the Caps are looking for a first-round pick for Dowd. Do you think they're still going to be able to get that?
I'm torn. I mean, I think when you look at all that he brings and the 1 year left on his deal at $1.3 million, when I first had the Joel Edmondson trade to Toronto come across my plate, I was thinking, oh, could this be a spot where Edmondson and Dowd go to the same place? And Dowd would certainly be a fit for the Leafs to improve them now and then for the future. Obviously, that didn't happen. You know, the teams that I've been talking to, they view the return for Dowd as either that late first in a singular way, or they're looking at it in a, you could get a second and a third. So that's sort of the range that teams have been thinking for Dowd. And again, because he has that term, no guarantee that he moves, but the fact that we've seen Edmondson and Mantha go, we know the Caps have thrown in the towel on this season. Max Pacioretty is very likely to go. Keep Florida in mind. We mentioned how they're still holding out hope on Gensel, as slim as that might be. But the next checkdown option, Pacioretty is in a very similar type situation with the Caps that Vladimir Tarasenko was with the Sens. He holds all the cards, full no trade, full no move. And Pacioretty has, you know, I believe has Florida on his real short list of teams that he'd like to play for, like Tarasenko, has a house there, has family there, and certainly would be in a spot where the Caps, you know, might not have to pay a whole lot if they're leveraging that situation properly to add a guy that is really just kind of getting going now, 15 points in 25 games coming off of the two ACL tears, or Achilles tears, excuse me.
Washington's already retained money on both Edmondson and Mantha, so they have one more retained salary spot. And you mentioned Pacioretty with that full no movement clause. They definitely have a lot of cards here to play on deadline day. Staying out east, Frank, let's go to New Jersey, where I know Tom Fitzgerald came out earlier in the week and said, I'm not chopping Tyler Toffoli. As the days have kind of gone on since that quote, it's starting to sound like he's more likely than not to move. Is that fair?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sorry, who is that? I just have a trade that I'm working on here.
Ooh, I've
love been working on
that,
it all Frank. Show, and I can't concentrate.
Tyler Toffoli, pending UFA, $4 million AAV, having a great year, proven playoff guy. It is easy to see why contenders would love this guy. Is it more likely than not that New Jersey moves him?
Yes, I think very likely at this point. I would peg it at well north of 80%. Look, New Jersey recognizes the spot that they're in. I think LA with their cap machinations is one to watch. And, you know, I mentioned a couple of the teams where I don't think he's going. I don't think he could be wrong. Don't think he's going to Edmonton. Could be wrong. Don't think he's going to Colorado. So you begin to kind of work through the list of some of those other fits. If the New York Rangers don't get Jake Guentzel, could Toffoli cross the Hudson River, as unholy as that might sound? Like, I think there's lots of different options on the table for New Jersey. I do think the Kings, though, are certainly one of the teams that would like to bring Toffoli back in after winning a Stanley Cup with him 10 years ago.
Yeah, it would be a really neat story as well. You and I have talked about a lot of chaos theories, you know, Calgary having to play Dallas and Chris Tanev in round one of the playoffs. Chaos. Yeah, can you imagine? Rangers, it's so unlikely. Rangers slip to two, Devils jump over the Flyers, Toffoli's a Ranger, round one, rematch of last year again. Highly, highly unlikely, but just let my mind wander for a little bit. A couple more names I want to run past you, Frank. You mentioned the LA Kings. They are the lone buyer out in California. The Anaheim Ducks, one of the two sellers. And they have Frank Vetrano, who's still in the top 10 of your trade targets board. Frank, he's got term on him, which makes him maybe not a check down per se for the teams interested in Toffoli, but a guy you could pivot to. Goal scorer, and if you want to sacrifice assets to get a guy with term, man, Vetrano to help you for two playoff runs would be a great fit for a lot of contenders. What's the appetite in Anaheim to move on from him?
I don't think it's very high, but I think they also recognize that they're in a spot where Frank Vetrano at $3.65 million may be more valuable to other teams than to the Ducks. Now, if they traded Vetrano, the first thing you're going to do this summer is try and go out and find another one. So I don't think they're really pushing hard to do it, but I can tell you that teams are certainly calling, trying to make something happen. A reminder on Anaheim that they've now used all three of their retained salary transaction slots, so wouldn't be able to retain on any player. Some people were saying, oh, that killed the Rangers' interest in Vetrano. I don't think that's the case. I think the Rangers could still find a way to make it work if that were to be their target, but it just changes things from Anaheim's perspective.
One or a couple other players I want to hit on, Frank, as we continue our sort of gauntlet run here on the day before the trade deadline. Jacob Chychrun in the Ottawa Senators. We saw them move on from Tarasenko yesterday. I know some people or some Sens fans were upset with the price because Tarasenko basically got to pick his spot. They would get a lot for Jacob Chychrun. Do you think he moves at this deadline, or is this maybe more of a summer thing?
I don't know what I would handicap this at, because I know that the appetite for Chychrun 6 weeks ago was really strong. And I think teams have gone back and gone to the drawing board and said, well, if this is what rental price, like if this is the Hanifin price, how much more would we need to spend to get Chychrun? And then we have him next season at $4.6 million, which is obviously incredibly attractive. He's played a lot better in Ottawa than he did in Arizona, which teams have certainly paid attention to. But here's the thing. Ottawa's in a spot. They've got $16.05 million committed to Jake Sanderson and Thomas Chabot on the left side of their defense. As soon as July 1, Chychrun's eligible to sign an extension. So you'd be looking at somewhere between $22 and $24 million just on the left side of your defense. That's going to be really hard to do. I personally, this is my own opinion, I think if you were to inject some truth serum into the Sens, they would say we'd rather move Chabot than Chychrun because they're just different players. But that term and the dollars remaining, the value just isn't the same as it is for Chychrun. I think it's still really likely that Chychrun next season is playing somewhere else. I just don't know if it happens before Friday or does it happen in the run-up to the draft.
All right, last one. This we got a question in the inbox from Neil right before our show started. He wanted to know any surprise players you could see being dealt. Frank, I want to flip that into a question about a player who's lower down on your board. Linus Ullmark has popped into your top 50. We know the Bruins are short on assets. They're basically a team that would have to make hockey trades, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Ullmark on your list. Is there a realistic shot that the Bruins look to do something a little kooky here before tomorrow at 3 o'clock?
Look, that's why he's at number 49. Never say never. I think it's really unlikely, but I do think a team like the Devils has been calling. I think the Devils have called on quite literally every goalie, you know, even guys under longer term contract. Like I think they called Pittsburgh on Tristan Jarry, for instance. So look, goaltending has been the staple, the saving grace of the Bruins. It's a huge reason why they're as good this year as they were last year. Maybe not quite as good as a record-setting year, but have been damn near, you know, perfect and consistent when it comes to their goaltending. Ullmark and Swayman obviously get along. Swayman does need a new deal. I think they've been hard at work on an extension for that. And if you're a team that doesn't have very many assets and is trying to trade to improve your roster elsewhere, Ullmark is one of those pieces that you have at your disposal that could do that in a year in which you don't have the first round pick. So that's more along the lines of the thought process, the receiving calls, and they want to improve their team. How do you find a way to make that happen? Maybe Ullmark is that candidate. I just think it's probably pretty unlikely.
All right, there you go. A fantastic edition of Icebreakers as we hit on a lot over a little 10-minute stretch there. And it's, as always, brought to you by DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order with the promo code NATION25. Moving along to our daily face-off inbox question, hashtag AskDFO. It's brought to you by Tourism Jasper. You know who needs a vacation? Frank. He would love a weekend out at the Rockies at one of those spring cabins. It is beautiful this time of year in Jasper. Head to jasper.travel for more information. Minor league trade here, Frank, hey?
Yeah, just a kind of an intriguing swap of prospects. Jacob Perreault is going to the Montreal Canadiens in exchange for Jan Mišek. Don't really have much to add, but certainly right, something that comes across your plate this time of year.
Our resident Jets fan, Turd Ferguson, who I love saying that name on the show, he chimes in. He goes, Frank, if Kevin Cheveldayoff isn't going to do anything, can you have him as a guest tomorrow so he can comment on other moves? He's frustrated. He wants his Jets to make a splash. Will our pal, Mr. Ferguson, get his wish?
Like, you guys have, I think, one of the best trades that's been made so far with the way that Sean Monahan has fit to that team. I think that he's changed the power play. I think when you look at his ability to play a 200-foot game, you look at some of these other prices, like it seems to fit right in. I think he's a better add than Henrique is for Edmonton. And the Jets have gotten out in front of it and had basically 35 days now with Monahan in their lineup compared to a team like the Oilers, which is now just starting from scratch with Henrique.
Yeah. Next one comes in from Christopher Palmer. Frank, how do you keep your phone charged during silly season? And how low do you get your charge go before you plug it in? Like, is it always plugged in at your desk or are you roaming around? What's the deal?
No, I was so mad last night. I was tweeting or texting something. It was like 12:30, 12:45 a.m. last night. And it actually died. And I was like, ooh. I had to get up out of bed, walk downstairs to my computer to get out the text or tweet that I wanted to send and wait for it to charge up again. I was just like, come on. So I try and keep it above 20%. Anytime it turns to red on the battery meter, then I plug it in. But for the most part, it's been pretty good.
People keep saying, Frank, what's the trade you're working on? You got to tell us. You got to have tweet notifications turned on for that kind of quick info. You'll get it from Frank when you get it. Patience is the key.
Just working on it. And by the way, to answer Turd about that, the Jets question, like I do think the Jets are trying to add one more veteran defenseman. And they're also keeping their eyes peeled on some of the prices in this buyer's market for some forward support, because think back to last year, Namestnikov and Niederreiter both came in for second round picks. Both players were re-signed. Those are the type of deals that the Jets won't hesitate to make again if they can continue to add after Monahan.
All right, let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Frank, the next time I try to pick an over-under in the NHL, you can just reach through the screen and smack me and tell me not to, because I suck at it. But what I'm good at is the player shot prop parlays. Nailed mine again last night, so tonight it's my only bet. Starting with Bobby McMahon, he's been putting some money in my jeans as of late. He's hit this shot prop in 7 straight with 3+ shots in 6 of those 7 as well. Crushing this number. Makes no sense why it's only at 1.5. Same goes for Marco Rossi. He's hit this in 5 in a row with 4+ shots in 4 of those games. That is significant. Both these guys together, plus 136. Nice, easy, one pick day for me on the Betano front. The game starts now at patano.ca. Wrapping up the show, Frank, with garbage time and maybe a couple other inbox questions if people want to throw them in. It's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. These are your options for tonight. John Tavares is the most popular pick to pick up a point. I like the Oilers over 1.5 power play goals against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But plenty going on if you're still alive in this week's contest. Download the Wendy's app today. Score yourself 150 bonus rewards points. Frank, for garbage time, wanted to give some love to a couple of defensemen who have cashed in on some, I mean, life-changing money. Yesterday, you talked about Nick Seeler getting that contract from Philly. I mean, at one point a couple of years ago, he was debating hanging up the skates. You look at Gustav Forsling. This is a guy who was picked up on waivers and is now signing an 8-year extension worth $5.75 million per year on the Florida Panthers. These are a couple of awesome stories.
Yeah, I mean, this is massive game-changing deals that both these players who have been through some ups and downs. I particularly love the Seeler story. He was guaranteed $375,000 this year on a two-way contract with the Flyers. I mean, he had made a total in his NHL career, the first 12 years of it, a total of $3 million. He gets $2.5 million in signing bonus alone on this deal. So Nick Seeler is L-I-V-I-N, livin', and he's, you know, earned every penny of it. And then you look at this Forsling deal. I think you can make the argument that he really is the straw that stirs the Florida Panthers' drink on defense. Now, with all due respect to Brandon Montour and Aaron Ekblad and others, Forsling is just different. And he's really controlled play for them. So to get that done under $6 million is a win for the Panthers. It's a win for Forsling to get that kind of security. And I think also a reminder to everyone about the advantages that the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning and Vegas Golden Knights have in the no state tax state. 5.75, that's the equivalent of north of 7 somewhere else. So if it feels like Forsling took a discount, the money that he's putting in his jeans, not really.
All right. And quickly, I promise one more inbox question and I will stand by the Edmontonians in the chat. We've had like four people say, has Frank talked about Eberle yet? Is the Eberle to Edmonton thing potential? Huh?
Yeah, oh, it's certainly potential. Like I said, the Oilers are keeping an eye on it. Here's what I know. The Kraken and Eberle have gone back and forth on a contract extension for a while now. I think Eberle's preference is to re-sign with the Kraken. They're being stingy at his age on term. I think they're stuck on a two-year deal. He wants longer than that to stay. I don't know if it's going to get done, but my point is, if it's not done, the Kraken have vowed that they will be trading Jordan Eberle before 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday without a contract. So the Oilers are just one of the teams that's paying attention to what could happen next. And a reunion could well potentially be in order, which I think everyone would love to see from a story standpoint, but I think would be an underrated ad for how good he's been in the playoffs. Remember that BS excuse that Peter Chiarelli made up a few years back when trading him? Oh, he's not a playoff player. I was there for that playoff run. I watched it. I know that he struggled, but go look at his numbers since. He's got 48 points in 64 playoff games since then. I think that's the total.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So stop the narrative.
Give me Eberle back in Edmonton. Give me Toffoli back in LA. And let's see if the best storyline won't win it all. All right. Everyone who enjoyed watching Frank try to break trades while he was doing this show, you are going to love our deadline show tomorrow. A 4 hour plus live program right here on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. And the best part about it, while I'm on the screen hosting with Colby Cohn and former NHLer Carter Hutton in our main panel, right up in the top corner, right around where the Wendy's logo is right now, Frank Saravalli sits in his insider cam. You get to watch him work the phones all day. And then whenever he's got a deal, boom, he unmutes, gives us the trade the second it happens. You do not get that kind of breaking news anywhere else. You got to be here tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. Eastern for our Daily Faceoff trade deadline special. It's going to be a ton of fun. Stephen Ellis, Matt Lark, and a bunch of reporters from around the league as well. It'll be a jam-packed 4+ hours of deadline coverage, and I cannot wait to get it going. Frank, great work today on the show. A big shout out to Botano, our producer, Gavin Turnick, who was nails all week, Pat Puff on the graphics as well, and everybody in the YouTube. We'll chat with you again tomorrow on deadline day.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.